Well, good morning. It's a blessing to be here again. It's been a little while. I guess I didn't figure out how long since it's been since we were here, but it's a blessing to be here again. Worship with you all, spend time together, praising the Lord. That last song was a real blessing to me. Just kind of speaks to what's on my heart. The bread of life, word of God. So, how many of you all like stories? Do any of your children like stories? I have a little story to start off with. And I hesitated sharing this morning because it's a little bit embarrassing for me, especially being in a crowd of, I think, some pretty good marksmen. I'm not a very good marksman, but I have a story about I'll get into the story here. So, I work on a farm and work with animals, lots of animals, and sometimes the animals get sick and need to be shot, killed, taken care of. So I got myself a little handgun recently to take care of that, and so I was working, I was sighting this handgun in and getting it all, getting used to running it. It's just a little .22 handgun. And it's kind of new for me. I didn't ever have a handgun before. But we were sighting it in one day, actually because we're also having issues. My wife has a garden, and she has lettuce in the garden, and there's something eating the lettuce. Does any of you know what eats lettuce? Any of your children? What animal likes to eat lettuce in the garden? Rabbit. Very good. Who was that? Was that you? Rabbits. Yes, so we have some rabbits at our house. So I decided, well, I'm going to get my handgun out and see if I can take care of some of these rabbits. Well, one day, actually when I was studying for this message a few weeks ago at our plate, at our church out there, my daughter comes to me and says, "Hey, there's a rabbit out here." Okay, so I grab my gun and I go out there, and after we had sighted it in and sight up and shoot, and the dust flies a few, just a little beyond the rabbit. I'm like, "Oh man." So I figured out, I lowered it a little bit and shot again, and dust flies just below the rabbit. So I lifted a little bit and shot, and that time it obliterated it. My little daughter Deanna, she was excited about that. She was watching the process, and she was pretty excited. Anyway, the reason this is a little bit embarrassing, I was listening to some of the men talking yesterday about shooting 900 yards, 800-900 yards, and I was like, "Wow, I'm far from that." So, I'm still learning. But anyway, that experience, I don't know if you all ever, after you do something one day, you go to bed that night and sleep and you dream. And you dream about something you did. How many of you all do that? Okay, so it's not just me. Well, that night I went and went to sleep, and I was dreaming. Now, I don't think you all have pheasants here, do you? You all have pheasants in Ohio? So out there in Iowa, we have pheasants, and when you go pheasant hunting, usually you take a couple of, is this a whiteboard to mark on? Okay, you usually take a couple of, have a couple of guys and walk through a field like a prairie grass, because that's where they like to hide, the pheasants do. And so in this dream, now I don't normally go pheasant hunting, but anyway, I was dreaming that I was going pheasant hunting with a couple of brothers from our church there. So we kind of spread out throughout the field. There's a guy over here and a guy here maybe, and spread out. And I was all the way over here on this end, just kind of walking through the field and with our shotguns. And this was me over here, and this guy over here, one of my brothers in church there, in our church there, he all of a sudden he started shooting, and I'm looking over there, and now this is in my dream, right? And looking over there, and here these guys right here. Actually, I think there was five of us, so he was maybe here. Anyway, so this guy's laying down dead over here, and this guy's too, and all of a sudden he's shooting towards me, and I'm over here, and so I'm like, what's going on? And I'm trying to, you know how dreams are, trying to run to get out of there, and you can't run very fast, and you know. And all this time, my mind is building these suspicions and whatever, you know, about this brother over here. It's just awful. So I get out of there, thankfully, and got in a vehicle and left, then it kind of went on, and I ended up, all of a sudden now it was snowy, it was wintertime, and I was up on this platform. It was like a big platform up high, and here he is again, and he's crawling up this ladder up to this platform, and there's snow up there, and so I'm like pushing snow down off on this guy, trying to get him away. No, no, and he's coming after me, and he said something about, I'm going to get you, and I'm like, you know, by this time, my red flags are extremely high, and I said, I love you, and that kind of stopped him. He kind of backed off a little bit, but it was about then that I woke up, and you can imagine it just takes a little bit of time to, like, oh, it's not true after all, you know, just the relief, and then all the suspicions and the things that you were thinking about this fellow start, you know, it's like, oh, it's not true after all. You know, this was just a dream. Oh, thankfully, just relief, you know. So that dream came the night that I was studying for this message, and I was asking the Lord, I went to bed that night asking the Lord for a story to kind of illustrate what was on my heart, and I think he gave that for that reason. Anyway, have you ever wondered how we know that what we're believing, the things that we're believing, are they really true? Are we deceived and maybe honestly deceived? Maybe, you know, have you ever wondered that question? Well, I think there's some things in the Word of God that help us to know that what we're believing is true. And just like in that story there, you know, after I woke up, I was relieved. I realized what I was believing was not true, but this is kind of the opposite. We want to wake up someday on the other side of this life, realizing that what we believed is true, and our faith was founded in truth. When Jesus talked to the Pharisees, you know, the Pharisees, they knew the scriptures, but they were missing some fundamental things. And so let's look into what that is, what those things were that they were missing. Recently, I've been thinking about David, and God calls David a man after his own heart, after God's own heart. And just studying into the life of David some, I want to study a lot more yet into what David really had, but there's some things that are very obvious. Let's go to Psalm 119, and if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn there, because we want to read some things together. Psalm 119, verse 113. Starting in verse 113, what I'd like to do is every word that implies the Word of God, I'm going to stop and allow and have you all say that. And it might be words like word, commandments, precepts, statutes, testimonies, judgments, those types of words, the words that imply God's word. I'm just going to pause there and have you all read it. So we're going to start in chapter 119, verse 113, and go through to verse 152. I hate vain thoughts, but thy do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy. My flesh trembleth for thee, for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors, but surety for thy servant. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy. Therefore I love thy above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy. Thy that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy. Thy is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy are my delights. The righteousness of thy is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy. I prevented the dawning of the morning. I cried and hoped in thy. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord, quicken me according to thy. They draw nigh that follow after mischief, they are far from thy. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy are truth. Concerning thy, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Let's go to 163. Verse 163, and I'll just read a few verses there. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I mean, you could keep going and going and going through all of, I mean, the whole psalm there. It just doesn't stop. He's telling how much he loves the law of God and meditates on it day and night. Back to verse 97, in the same chapter there, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Do you think that this attitude that he's expressing here has any part to play in God calling him a man after his own heart. David loved the Lord with all his heart. And that is why he thought so highly of God's law and his word, because his law and his word revealed who God was, who God is. When I was courting my girlfriend, actually from here, and we had a long-distance relationship, about 9 hours drive apart, so we wrote letters. And we would do it once a week. I would write a letter to her, and then she'd write one back to me. And those letters, I pored over those letters. I would read them at least two or three or four times sometimes, and excuse me, think about them through the day, and what did she mean here, and why did she say that, and just like, I'd love some parts of it, just like read and think about it over and over, but it was because I loved her, and I still do, I loved her, but that is what we see David doing to the Word of God. This Word, it's God's love letter to us. It's God revealing himself to us. Let's go to Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. We're going to go kind of quickly here. Psalm 111. If I can get there quickly. Psalm 111, 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. 119, verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Psalm 138, 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Brothers and sisters, let us love this word of God with our whole hearts. Psalm 31, 23. Sorry, we're kind of jumping around here. And you don't have to follow along here if you'd like to just sit and listen. Psalm 31, 23. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. What is the first of the Ten Commandments? Anybody know offhand? Love the Lord. Not exactly. It's close. The first of the Ten Commandments in Exodus. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. let's turn to Mark 12. Mark 12, verse 28. We're going to see a little bit what Jesus, how he explained the most important commandment of all. Mark 12, 28. And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. If God is not first place in our lives, I'm afraid we won't make it in this life. If he isn't the most important thing, the thing that we are seeking after with all of our hearts. John 5:39. John 5, verse 39, it says, Jesus is talking to the Jews here, and he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So Jesus is telling the Jews here to search the scriptures. I mean, if anybody, the Jews knew the scriptures. They searched them. I think we can honestly say that they knew them better than any of us here did. And Jesus is telling them to search the scriptures. What were they missing? What was missing there? Let's go on verses 40 through 42 there, John 5. "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you." I think that is the key there, that verse 42, "I know you that ye have not the love of God in you." Searching the scriptures to try to find loopholes or ways to reason away things that you want to do or accomplish is not actually searching the heart in the scripture. Is not searching God's, is not filled with that love for the truth, love for God. John 8, just a couple pages over, John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Brothers and sisters, let's go to this word for answers. When we have questions, for answers when we have questions, sometimes it's not our first resort, but let's make it our first resort. Let's go to this word for strength when we're weak, for light when the way seems dark, for peace for our troubled hearts. We will find answers. We will find strength. We will find light. We will find peace. It is here. The answers are here. They're found here in the Word of God. And sometimes it takes a couple of times of looking. You know, it takes, but it also takes faith. And it takes a love for the truth to search it out and to find God's heart in it. Jeremiah 24:7. Jeremiah 24, verse 7 says, "And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart." That's what God wants. He wants to give us a heart to be his people, to know him. He wants to be our Lord. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I want to look at that word, truth. Jesus is, he is the truth. A love for God turns into a love of the truth. When seeking God's face, let's ask the Lord, what is his will in this situation? What is excellent? What is expedient in searching this, instead of searching the scriptures to prove that this, whatever you're trying to figure out, is okay. Usually you can find some verse somewhere to support your view, your personal view. But if we're really searching the scriptures to search for the heart of God, that's when he reveals himself, just out of a love for him. Bible says, "Buy the truth and sell it not," in Proverbs 23:23. Spend regular time in his word. I've found that just by spending regular daily time in God's word and prayer each day is foundational in determining God's will in a matter. I also believe it's good and important to spend special extra time seeking God regarding specific decisions, but not without that regular daily time in the Word. For me, that's been foundational. I don't know if any of y'all know who Harry Argo is. Any of y'all know Harry Argo? He was at our Bible school a few years, 2 years now, and I think it was 2 years ago, he kind of laid out a plan for a Bible reading plan that he uses, and I've kind of implemented that into my morning devotions, and I've really enjoyed it. I've done, like, through the Bible in a year plans and stuff, and one thing that's discouraging with those is if you get behind a few days, 2 or 3 days, all of a sudden you have, you know, 20 chapters to read, and it's just, it's really, or if you get behind more than that, it's really, really bad, and then you get discouraged. But with this plan, and I might just put it up here, he kind of divides the Bible into three sections. So you have the Old Testament, and the Gospels, the four Gospels. And then the rest of the New Testament. And so there's a couple of different options that he gave. One is just one chapter a day. So one day you read a chapter in the Old, so you start Genesis 1, and you read one chapter a day. And then the next day you read Matthew 1, and the next day you read Acts 1, and then go back again the next day and read Genesis 2, and just work your way through the Bible. He'll usually have, like, bookmarks or something where you're actually reading. With that plan, you get through the Old Testament in 5.5 years, through the Old Testament once in 5.5 years, through the Gospels almost 2 times per year, and through the rest of the New Testament in 1 year and 5 months. Or if you want to read 3 chapters a day, you can do one of each of these every day, and you get through the Old Testament in 2.5 years, through the Gospels more than 4 times a year, and through the rest of the New Testament 2 times a year. But the part that I haven't shared yet is the part that I enjoy the most, and that is another thing that he encourages to do with this is writing. When you read your chapter or your chapters in the morning, to have a little tablet or notebook and just write a few things that stood out to you. Maybe just the verse number and just a sentence or something short, just like even just a little phrase. I have been doing that, and it's amazing to me how many times I go back and use those things that I wrote down. Like, I never figured I would, but for messages or for just reference, you know, in conversation, it's like, oh, yeah, that stood out to me, and maybe I'll go back and look at it, or maybe just simply since I wrote it down, it jogs my memory a little quicker. But that's been really good. I've just really enjoyed that, and it has kind of changed my personal devotions in the morning. I really look forward to getting up and going and reading my portion. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. We eat bread every day. Let's also eat of that bread of life every day." Psalm 119 again. Can't stay out of Psalm 119 today. I'll read verses 9 to 16. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments, all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I would delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." This is a way of life for David through the day and the night, meditating in God's word. Let's go to Revelation 2. In Revelation 2, Jesus is talking to John here and to the seven churches through John. I want to just pick out a couple of portions here. Chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 17. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Chapter 3, verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Chapter 3, 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Overcoming is hard, otherwise it wouldn't be overcoming. But we won't overcome unless we have that love for the truth and for God's word. Abner Showalter, in one of his messages, says, when we really love Jesus, what will it inspire within us? Let us not approach the scriptures as lawyers reading for technical loopholes, but rather out of a heart of love for the words of Jesus. Let us dedicate time daily to seek his face and read his word. Now, I was thinking about David, King David, his life some more, and then contrasting it with Saul, King Saul. And there's a major difference there in how they ended up, but it seems like, you know, if you look at the life of King Saul, it seemed like every step of the way he was just running against a brick wall. And what was missing there? I mean, he had the word of God, he had the prophet Samuel, he was anointed king. And yet it seemed like there was something wrong. And if we go towards the end of his life, actually just a few days before he died, he was the Philistines were encamped, or they were coming against him, and he was seeking to find an answer from God to know what to do. If they should go out to battle against the Philistines, or what they should do, if the Lord will fight for them. Samuel had died, and he was seeking for an answer from God, but there was no answer. There was no answer. So, unbelievably, Saul went to the witch at Endor to get an answer from Samuel. And, I mean, it's just unthinkable that King Saul would do such a thing. And yet, he did. He did. And it all ended very, very terribly there. And just contrasting that with the life of David and what David did when he, you know, when he sought God's face, God was there. God was there. And let us seek God's faith with faith. Face with faith. I think that's one ingredient that was definitely there for David that was missing for Saul. But also just that love for God's will. Love for the truth. Obedience. Faith. I want to be careful how I say this, but when we run against an issue, when we need answers in our life, let's go to God for answers. I don't have any issues with searching Google. But could it be that at times when God is placing a roadblock in our life, we go and search Google for answers? I search Google multiple times a day sometimes, you know, for simple things, whatever. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But could it be that there's times that God places roadblocks in our life and is trying to say something, and we go to Google for answers? Let's seek the face of God. The Word of God. There are answers here. They are hidden sometimes, but they are here. And if we seek Him by faith, we will find them. James 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. That word liberally has the sense of bountifully. He gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't chide or defame. liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Let's come to God in faith when we have a question. Let's pick up this book in faith, knowing that the answers are here, because they are here. They really are. Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, forget not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways, wisdom's ways, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She, wisdom, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depth are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall keep thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So I don't understand what all this prophecy is saying here, but what sticks out to me is that because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, there's a deceit, there's a deceivableness that comes in. And let's continue to read there, verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Now it's getting even worse. Now God is sending strong delusions that they should believe a lie. And it's because they received not the love of the truth. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I don't see any way out of that if God is sending delusions and stuff. Let's love the truth. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. There is light. You know, I believe God for each one of you who has committed your ways to God, committed your heart to God, are walking in Him in the light. We can be confident that He is will lead us into truth. Maybe we haven't arrived. Maybe there's things in our life that He will still show us. I'm sure there is. I know there is. But that's His plan. That's the way He works, through His grace. But I think, again, the key is to love the truth. I'd like to read a little section here in a book that I was reading called Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlin. I didn't bring it along. I just printed out some because I didn't have it here. But by the way, it is a good book. I don't quite agree with everything in the book, but it's very good. It's called Gentle and Lowly. Just wanted to read a little section here. Have we considered the loveliness of the heart of Christ? Perhaps beauty is not a category that comes naturally to mind when we think about Christ. Maybe we think of God and Christ in terms of truth, not beauty. But the whole reason we care about sound doctrine is for the sake of preserving God's beauty, just as the whole reason we care about effective focal lenses on a camera is to capture with precision the beauty we photograph. Let Jesus draw you in through the loveliness of His heart. This is a heart that upbraids the impenitent with all the harshness that is appropriate, yet embraces the penitent with more openness than we are able to feel. It is a heart that walks us into the bright meadow of that felt love of God. It is a heart that drew the despised and forsaken to His feet in self-abandoning hope. It is a heart of perfect balance and proportion, never overreacting, never excusing, never lashing out. It is a heart that throbs with desire for the destitute. It is a heart that floods the suffering with the deep solace of shared solidarity in that suffering. It is a heart that is gentle and lowly. So let the heart of Jesus be something that is not only gentle toward you, but lovely to you. If I may put it this way, romance the heart of Jesus. All I mean is ponder Him through His heart. Allow yourself to be allured. Why not build in your life unhurried quiet where, among other disciplines, you consider the radiance of who He actually is? What animates Him? What His deepest delight is? Why not give your soul room to be re-enchanted with Christ time and again? When you look at the glorious older saints in your church, how do you think they got there? Sound doctrine? Yes. Resolute obedience? Without a doubt. Suffering without becoming cynical? For sure. But maybe another reason, maybe the deepest reason, is that they have, over time, been won over in their deepest affection to a gentle Savior. Perhaps they have simply tasted, over many years, the surprise of a Christ for whom their very sins draws Him in rather than pushes Him away. Maybe they have not known that Jesus loved them but felt it. Let's love the Word of God, brothers and sisters. This is our only hope. This is our lifeline, to love God and His Word. In closing, I wanted to sing a song in the Christian hymnary, number 194. Maybe we can sing that together. Levi, do you have a pitch pipe? Number 194, let's pitch it a little lower than it's written. Let's go with E. Mm-hmm. I love the Lord with all my heart. He lives with me each day. His presence is so sweet to me. His will I will obey. Oh, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul and strength and mind. Oh, love the Lord with all your heart. Rich blessings you will find. I love the Lord with all my heart. I'll serve him day by day. My life is his. Just use me, Lord, I pray. Oh, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul and strength and mind. Oh, love the Lord with all your heart. Rich blessings you will find. I love the Lord with all my heart. I'll bear the cross of shame. I'll follow him as he commands and suffer for his name. Oh, love the Lord with all and with all your soul and strength and mind. Oh, love the Lord with all your heart. Rich blessings you will find. I love the Lord with all my heart. And when life's course is run, I'll hear him say, "Well done, my child, thou good and faithful one." Oh, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul and strength and mind. Oh, love the Lord with all your heart. Rich blessings you.
Thank you, may God bless.